Okay, so we're on Daf Tet tonight. Let's go back and repeat a little bit what we did last night. Page nine. Okay, so I'm going back to Chedamid Beis 8B, 5 lines from the bottom. Okay, everybody, let's all focus. We're in the Mishnah, 5 lines from the bottom on page 16. Okay, so the Mishnah says. Again, we're in these Mishnayot that are Ein Bein. It's nothing to do per se, though it comes up a little bit with the Megillah. It's just the style of the Mishnayot. In other words, if you're memorizing Mishnayot, so it's easy to remember all Mishnayot that have Ein Bein. So there's between A and B, except C. So we had an Ein Bein that we began with Purim on Thursday, on Dafav, Ein Bein Adar Rishon Adar Sheni, the Kriya Megillah Matan Levyonim. There's not just seen Adar Rishon or Sheni, except Kriya Megillah Matan Levyonim. Then we have a whole bunch of other Ein Bein Mishnayot. So Manitin Ein Bein Sfarim Tefillin Mezuzot. There's no difference between Sfarim, means the Sifrei Tanakh, and Tefillin Mezuzot. Ela Shesfarim Nechtavim B'chul Hashon. According to the Tanakh, the Mishnah, Sfarim were on 8b, 5 lines from the bottom. Okay, so it says El Shesfarim Nechtav Mechul Lashon. Sfarim can be written in any language. Tefillin Mezuzot Einan Tavod El Ashurit. Tefillin and Mezuzot have to be written in Ashurit, in the way we write, like in our Sefer Torah. So he says, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Meir Apis Farim Lo Vitiru Shi Kaku El Yivanit. Gamliel says you can't write in any language in Sfarim, in the Sifrei Tanakh. The only ones you could use are Ashurit and Greek. Those are the only two languages you can use. Okay? This is going to come out from the Gemara. Rabbi Lugo will explain this way as well. It means it's a Dinta Rabbanan that, or let me leave it and we'll come back to it later. Okay? So those are the Shitot of the Mishnah. So the basic idea of the Mishnah is you can write Sfarim in different languages and we still have Kedushat Sefer. All right? Let me just cover a little ground in the Gemara and I'll pause. So 4 lines from the bottom. So the Gemara says, how the Tofran Begidin, the Tamid Edayim, is Evzer Shabin. So, when it comes to the necessity to be tofer with gidin, in other words, if I'm sewing the different sort of sheets in a sefer Torah, or by analogy, not that it's really done, but if I use it for tefillin and mezuzos, I would have to be tofer with gidin, and there's a sheet with pishtan, but I have to do begidin. In other words, saying that there's no difference. So the tofer and begidin with the talmid yadayim says shavin. He says. So Rashi brings down that there's a machloket concerning a sefer Torah. There's an opinion that holds with a sefer Torah you could sew it together with pishtan, which is flax. So the Mishnah doesn't hold like that. In other words, the Mishnah says the only difference between tefillin and sifarim and tefillin and mezuzahs is what language could be written in, but not for gidin it's the same. And the Tamid Edayim, we said that. Is din rabbanon? If you touch sefer Torah, it's mitame the yadayim. In other words, they would store truma with the svarim. In other words, svarim are entitled to a certain deference. So konim would sort of store their truma together with the sefer Torah, but that led to problems and mice and things like that. So they didn't want people to do that anymore. So they said that if you touch a sefer, it's mitame lidayim. Mitame lidayim, so then you can't eat the truma unless you wash your hands. So, but there's a penalty that way. Anyways, they're all mitame lidayim. Okay. All right. Now, 3 lines to the bottom. As far as the time of Chulashem Chulei Raminu, so we post a contradiction from our Mishnah to the following brisa. Now, this brisa I mentioned last night, it's substantially similar to a Mishnah, which is a Masechet Yadayim. It says, but the Gemara later on calls it. Tanya, like a brisa, so we'll split a brisa, okay? So he says, Mikrash Ktovo Targum, we think, and again, we'll have different pshatim, but we think the pshat is, if I wrote the parts that are in Hebrew, instead of writing in Hebrew, I write it in Targum, Aramaic translation. He says, the Targum is to a Mikra, or if I have the psukim that are in Targum, and I translate into Hebrew, it's not going to be good. Huktav Ivri, or in the alternative, if I use the ancient Hebrew script to write any of the Sfarim, Einu Metame Dedayim, so then those Sfarim would not be Metame Dedayim. It's not Metame Dedayim, it doesn't have a Kedushat Sefer. He says, Ad Shetzevenu B'Ktav Ashurit El Sefer B'Dyo. It doesn't have Kedushat Sefer until it's written with Ashurit, which is the way we write Hebrew, in a Sefer Torah with Dyo. All right? So basically, our Mishnah says, Tanakhama says Sfarim can be written in any language. This Brisa says it can only be written in Ashurit, right? So we have a stira between the Mishnah and the Brisa. So we have 24 Sfarim Tanakh. So I need the Sifrei Tanakh. On cloth, right? No. Okay. So when I write it on cloth, it has to do with Sefer. According to the Tan of our Mishnah, I can write it in any language. It'll be written on cloth. And according to the Tan of the Brisa, it can only be written on Ashurit, all right? Everybody got that? Okay. So, everybody good in the cyber world? Everybody good there so far? We went over this last night. I'm just repeating. All right? So, let's go back further. So the Gemara says, I'm a Rava. So, Rava says the bottom line, Lokasha, the top line, and Tedem and Alt, 9a, the top line. He says, I'm a Rava, Lokasha, come to Gofen Shalanu, come to Gofen Shalahen. That our Mishnah, when it says you can write in any language, it's funny that I'm using the Ketav Ashuri. I'm using the letters that we use in the Sefer Torah, but to write it in other languages. But in the Braista, it's referring to Golf and Shalahem, when I'm going to write it in French using Latin letters, you know, or Greek and Greek letters. So then it's not kosher. That's what we think the pshat is. Now, according to that pshat, we'll reinterpret the Braisa. So the Braisa, when I said it's Mikra and Ketav Ivri or Ketav Ivri, it means because it was written in Ketav Ivri. Ketav Ivri is the ancient Hebrew script, and that's why it's no good. So we're talking about it's written in ancient Hebrew scripts. That's why it's not good. It has to be written in Ketav Ashuri. So the Gemara says on the top line on Tedem and Aleph, Amrli Abaye, so Abaye says the Rava, so what did you say the Bryce is talking about? That's talking about using the foreign languages, the alphabet of the foreign languages. So why does the Tana mention that you have Hebrew that you wrote it in Targum, Mikra? I feel Mikra, Targum, Nami. In other words, that's not significant in terms of the soul. The fact that it was Hebrew and then I wrote a Targum, or a Targum and then I wrote into Hebrew, the psul is that I'm using Ketav Ivri. He says that it has to be written in Ashuri. So this other, the way that you're having this pshat doesn't fit in so well with that Braisa, because the Braisa is saying you wrote Hebrew and you translated it into Aramaic. Aramaic, you translated into Hebrew. And again, there's in the Chumash, we have some Aramaic I mentioned last night. You have there's two words, Yigar Sahaduta with Yaakov and Laban at the end of Parshas Vayetze. So remember, Yaakov builds a pile of, they build a pile of stones. And it says that Yaakov called it Galaid and Laban called it Yigar Sahaduta. Yigar Sahaduta is Aramaic. So we have Aramaic in the Chumash. So it means if you would translate it, so saying not good. Or in Sefer Daniel, you have a lot of Aramaic. In Sefer Ezra, you also have Aramaic. So let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara scratches that shot on line 6 or 8. He says, Elo Lokasha, Harabanan Harosh Gamliel. So different shot now. So now we're trying to say, perhaps we could say that the Mishnah that says it could be written in any language, that's following the Chachamim. The Chachamim hold Sefer could be written in any language. The Braisa that says it can only be written in Ashuri, that's following the Tana Rabosh Gamliel we had in the Mishnah. But in the Mishnah, Rabosh Gamliel said it could also be written in Greek. So the Gemara says, Yirosh Gamliel ha'ika Yavanis. The Gemara says, how could that be from Gamliel? Gamliel holds it could be written in Greek. And then the Braisa says, only in Ashuri. So scratch that. So El Lokasha, there's no contradiction between our Mishnah and the Braisa. Kan Bisfarim, Kan Bishlim Uzuzot. So the Gemara wants to say that perhaps it's talking about different things. The Mishnah is talking about, I'm writing a Sefer from Tanakh. That could be written in any language. The Braisa is talking about Tefillin Mezuzot. So Tefillin Mezuzot, they have to be written in Ashurit, and that's what the Tan of our Mishnah said. Then if that's true, then everything is fine. She says, so the Gemara says, Tefillin Mezuzot, by Taima, Mishum Dechtibahu, Bahayuba, Bahayatanihu. So why by Tefillin Mezuzot must it be in Hebrew? Because the Pasuk says, Bahayu, Hadramaila. Bahayu, it has to be the way they are, in Ashurit, was in Ashurit. So, but the Gemara says, yeah, but my Targum is still Mikra Ika. But the Braisa refers to if I would have Targum, something that's written in Aramaic, and I write in Hebrew, that's no good. But what Targum do I have in Tefillin and Mezuzos? What psukim in Tefillin and Mezuzos are in Targum that I would even have something to speak about? So Bishleim the Torah, Iki Yargar Saduta. So in the Torah, I have two words. I have Yigar Saduta, Ela Hacho, my Targum Ika. What Targum is there? I heard Rabbi Leibowitz was saying that the Gemara thought in the Havamina that Totafot was Aramaic. The word Totafot was Aramaic. But the Gemara says this is no Aramaic. So anyway, scratch that shot. Okay? Okay, so everybody good so far with what we did? Up till now is what we did last night. Any questions what we did so far? No, in the wait, let's go back in. Let's say in Chumash. Give me an example. No. In other words, the question is like this: we're writing a sefer, and we want it to have kedushat sefer. So the Tana on the Mishnah says I could write a sefer in any language. That's what he says. And the Tana of the Braisa says if something's in Aramaic, I can't translate it into Hebrew. So in Hebrew, I can't translate it into Aramaic. It's still kedushat sefer. And you want to say what? Right, in Parshas Vayetze, right. How do they use it in Hebrew? Yeah, well, it doesn't sound like that way from the Psukim. It says Yaakov calls it Galeid and Laban calls it Yigar Saduta. It sounds that's the way it sounds like from the Chumash. But even assuming that Yaakov knew or used Aramaic, but what does the text say? What does the Psukim say? That's what it is. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? I'm moving on otherwise. All right, what's up? Somebody say something? All right, okay. Okay, if you're not saying anything, please mute yourselves, okay? Let's go on. Okay, now, we're on Tetam and Aleph, from around the 10th to 12th line from the top, and this is where
I
we left off.
I think Malta may be trying to say something.
Oh, okay, let me say thank you. I don't see her. Malta's in. Sorry. I let her enter. I don't see a red light near her, but I don't know. But I did whatever I
could. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Malta.
So my question is this why Yiddish is written in Hebrew letters?
No, I don't think that's got anything to do with anything.
Okay.
All right, but Yiddish is written in Hebrew letter. All right. Let's take a look back at the Gemara. Okay. So now the Gemara says, 10 lines from the top on Tetam Nala. El Lokasha. So the Gemara tries another tack. We're trying to reconcile our Mishnah, which says it's far can be written in any language, and the Bryson says it can only be written in Ashuri. Lokasha. Kan b'Megillah, kan b'Sfarim. That the Mishnah is speaking about the Sifrei Tanakh in general, all 24 words coming out, 23 Sifrei Tanakh. The Braisa is telling you about Megillah Esther. Now, usually we say, and Rabbi Lewis was mentioning this, the Megillah usually has more leniencies. But here it's going to come out that it has a stringency the way we want to say, that the Megillah Dafka has to be in Ashuri. But the other Sfarim in Tanakh could be in any language. That's what we think. So the Gemara says, Megillah Maitaima, why is it that the Megillah, according to the way we understand right now, would have to be in Ashuri? It says, Kitkava Mechil Shonam. Now, if you look, there's the Hagot Rabbatzal Ranchburg, it's the lower right-hand corner in Maidav. He says it should be Kitkava Mechil Shonam. In other words, in the Megillah itself, the Pasuk that the Gemara quotes, Kitkava Mechil Shonam, the way it's written in our Gemara, refers to the message they sent out to the Jews that they could fight back, you know, when they were being attacked. But the pasuk that Rabbi Tzal Ranchberg quotes, Kiftavam Chizmanam, is that the Megillah has to be Kiftavam Chizmanam, and in the right time. He says the Prichadar says that, and he cites also the Turei Yavin. So it means that the Megillah itself says that the Megillah should be written Kiftavam in its original language. So the Gemara, now let's go further. Back in the Gemara, so my targum mishtivo mikra ika. So, assuming that the Braisa is speaking about the Megillah, so what targum, what Aramaic is there in the Megillah that I say that I can't translate it into the Hebrew? So, Amara Papa v'nishma pitgam amelech. There's a pasuk in the Megillah. It says v'nishma pitgam amelech. The word pitgam is Aramaic. It means like the proclamation of the king. She says, that's one. So if I would write that, so kind of the Braisa is saying, if I write that in Hebrew, so it's not kosher. And then Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, v'chol anashim yinu yikar levalein, that all the women will give yikar. Yikar means kavod, but it's Aramaic. So even though yakar is a Hebrew word, but yikar uses kavod, is an Aramaic word, like you have yikar the shachvi, yikar the chayi, like by you have Avelis. Like there's kavod for the living and kavod for the people who are no longer alive. So those, that would be the pshat. Okay, so the first pshat, so we have a first working pshat with the Mishnah and the Braisa. So we think our Mishnah is talking about the other Sfarim, the other 23 Sfarim in Tanakh, and the Braisa is talking about Megillas Esther, which has to be in Ashuli. Now, Rav Ashi Amar, Hesber number 2. Rav Ashi Amar, Titania hi, Bishar Sfarim, Rabbi Yehuda hi. So Rav Ashi says that when the Braisa says that it has to be written in Ashuri, it's talking about, again, scratch the previous shot we gave, erase that. So it's saying that the Bryce is talking about the other Sifrei Tanakh except for Chumash. Outside of Chumash, all the Sifrei Nevi'im and Ketuvim have to be written in Ashuri. He says, and Rabbi Yehuda hi, and this is following Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabban Gamliel. So let me just say this outside, then we'll do it inside, and then we'll review. Okay? So in the Mishnah, Rav Shmuel Gamliel says that Sfarim can be written in Hebrew, Ashurit, or they can be written in Greek, Yavani. Rabbi Huda's understanding is, Rabbi Gamliel, for reasons that we're going to explain shortly, only gave the heter to write in Greek in Chumash. We'll see why. But all the other Sfarim have to be written in Ashurit. Okay? So that's the way he understands the Braisa. Let's say, Ditania, as we learn in the Braisa, Kilim Mezuzot Eina Tavina L'Ashurit, Kilim Mezuzot have to be written in Ashurit, which is the Hebrew, the way we write it in the Sefer Torah. Rabotenu Hitiru Yavanik. Rabotenu means here, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Or as our rabbis, it means Rabbi Shimon Gamliel permitted it to be written in Greek. So the Gemara says, that's the Braisa. That's the end of the Braisa. So, we'll give it a few lines. Let's just do a few lines of this, okay? So the Gemara says, how could it be that Rosh Hashanah permitted you to write Tilim Mezuzah in Greek? The pasuk says by you that it has to be in Hebrew. Ela Ema, like we should understand the Brisa as if it said as follows. Sfarim Nechtavim B'chol Lashon, that the Sfarim, when he says Sfarim here, one second, right, means that Sifrei Tanakh can be written in any language. Rabotenu Hitiru Yivani. But Rosh Hashanah permits you to write it in Yivani. So the Gemara says Hitiru means permitted it. Mechlav Tanakama Asar. But the Tanakama says that they could be written. He says, the Tanakama, he says, it means the Tanakama, Rabotenu Hitiru Yivani. Listen. Here. So he says, Sfarim Nechtavim B'chol Lashon, that Sfarim can be written in any language. This is the way we're sort of understanding the Braisa. Rabotenu Hitiru Yavani, Rav Shmuel prints it in Greek. So he says, Hitiru, he permits it, Mechlal Tanakam Asar. That doesn't make sense. He permits it. It was Tanakam prints you any language. Rav Shmuel limits you to Greek. He's not Matir Greek. It's just he's really Asar Galil languages. Ela Ema, so the Gemara understands it like this, Rabotenu Lo Hitiru, that Rosh Hashanah only permits you to do it in Greek. Okay, so that we have so far. Just one more minute. B'tanya, we learn another Braisa. I'm a Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, and he's explaining Rosh Hashanah, when our rabbis, it means Rosh Hashanah permitted you to write in Greek. Lo'itiru el b'sefer Torah. They only permitted it in a Sefer Torah, Mishamasa Talmai HaMelech, because the incident with Talmai HaMelech. Okay, let's just go slow down. So, again, so we had a stira between our Mishnah and the Braisa. Our Mishnah permits you to write Sfarim in any language. The Braisa only permits you to write it in Ashuri. So, the Gemara is saying that the Mishnah reflects the opinion of the Chachamim. The Braisa reflects the opinion of Rosh Hashanah according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rosh Hashanah only permits you to write Yevanit if it's a Sefer Torah. Well, other Sfarim, he does not permit you to write Yavani. It has to be in a Shuri. So the way the Gemara understands the second Braisa is returning to the other Sfarim other than the Torah. You're right, on a clock. All right, does everybody understand so far? So that there's 24. Okay, let me just summarize again, and I'll take your question, Fern. So there's 24 Sfarim in Tanakh. So if we take away the five Chamesh and Chamesh Torah, we have 19 Sfarim. So the way the Gemara understands, the Mishnah that says, Ein Bein Sfarim, it says, Sfarim Dechavim Mechol HaShon, that's the Chachamim. They hold that Sfarim can be written in any language. And in the Braisa, it says, it's Ad Sheikh Tevenu Bechtav Ashur Al Sefer Budyo, it's talking about, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, all the other Sifrei Tanakh, the 19 Sifrei Tanakh, except for the Chamesh and Chamesh Torah. And because of an incident with Talmai HaMelech that we're going to see in a few lines. Okay, what's up, Fern? What's up?
Go on. It has to crystallize.
Okay. That's the best. I love that. Everybody, okay. Now, okay, everybody good? What's up? It was not a Shuri. It would have been, you have to wait for the Gemara in Sanhedrin. You got to stay with Dakiomi until we come to Sanhedrin. There's a sugi over there. It was originally Libona. Well, actually, I think that there are different Shitot in the Gemara what it was. There are different Shitot, but there was an ancient Hebrew script. So I think there's an opinion in the Gemara that it was written as Shuri originally, but it may have been Libona. But clearly, Ezra Sofer changes everything to a Shuri. All right, let me hold off on this. Let me get through the sugi, then we'll take up the historical questions, okay? So let's take a look back on the Gemara. So the Gemara says, okay, so we're near the small aleph in parentheses. We should master Talmai HaMelech. Now, the Bach adds the words here, Mahi. What's the incident with Talmai HaMelech? The Tanya, master of Talmai HaMelech. There's an incident with Talmai HaMelech. In English, it's Tolmi, you know, but you spell with a P, but you don't pronounce the P. Tolmi, an Egyptian king, Rashi says. He says, Shekinah Shavimushlaim Zakenim, he gathers 72 scholars. The Relibus is quoting that it's the 71 members of Sanhedrin and the Nasi. The Nasi, in addition to which, there's a machloket in the Mishnah, are there 70 or 71? So this would, if that shot would go with that there are 71 members of the Sanhedrin, and then they took the Nasi as well. He says, V'chnisan b'shikimushlaim b'atim, he put them in 72 rooms, compartments. This is the Septuagint. In other words, the Septuagint was the first translation of the Torah to foreign language. So he says, he didn't tell them why he summoned them there. And if that's he went to each one individually. The Amar Lahem, and he said to them, I want you to translate the Torah for me. I don't speak Hebrew. I speak Greek. But you speak Greek and you speak Hebrew. Remember Sanhedrin, you know, 70 languages. So I need you to translate it. So Natarach Shbarchu B'leib Kul Echad V'Echad Eitzah. So Kadosh Baruch Hu put an Eitzah, like an idea, in each one's heart. They all were able, without consultation with one another, to translate and make changes on the literal translation in the same fashion. And now the Gemara is going to list the changes that they made. Now, there's a list of changes that are here. And then in Masechet Sofrim, I think, a list of additional changes, but we'll see the ones that the Gemara had here. So he says, V'katulo, so they wrote, Elokim bara bereshit. So the Pasuk says, Bereshit bara Elokim. So they were concerned that if we translate it, Bereshit bara Elokim, that this Talmai will think that there's an entity known as Bereshit who created Elokim, Chas V'Shalom. So they all changed it to Elokim bara bereshit. Elokim created in the beginning. And then instead of saying na ase adam, let us make man, so e'este adam, but tell him with what. So it's not na ase adam. We know that there's a famous Rashi in Chumash. He says that here the Torah gives like a makom for, I can't remember, a kofrim l'rdot, in other words, the people to sort of like, you know, go off the derech, and but the Torah wanted to teach us derech eretz. That the Gadol should be Nimlach with the Ketanim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nimlach with Pamal and Shamala before he created man. And Rav Simon brings that in his Sefer, I think from, I don't know, Rav Shechter or putting Rav Yisrael Salanter, that you see that Midot are more important than even the Amuna. In other words, that the Midah, in other words, Hashem, in other words, there are two choices. The Torah could have said, Es Adam, and then I don't have to worry, but he wouldn't be teaching me the Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz is that the God of Shemini Melech Katan. So it said, he was told, I'm going to teach them the Derech Eretz, even though there's a concern that people will go off the Derech with this. So he says, so they wrote, okay, change number Vayechal b'yom ha-shishi, vayishbot b'yom ha-shvi. So in the Chumash, it says, Vayechal ukim b'yom ha-shvi'i, melach tor sa'asah, vayishbot b'yom ha-shvi. So he completed it on the seventh day. So Chazal teaches, what does he complete on the seventh day? Means that the world was chaser menucha. In other words, he's teaching, the completion is that he's, you know, implanting in the world this concept of menucha coming to a halt, things coming to a halt. But they didn't think the goyim would understand that, and they wouldn't be mekabel it. So they'll think that God ceases work on Shabbos. So they changed it by yakal by yom hashishi, by yishpot by yom hashishi. They did that. Okay, then change number four. Zachar nekiva bira'o, v'lo k'tu bira'am. So it says that God, zachar nekiva bira'am, he created them zachar nekiva, man is talking about. So if he would write zachar nekiva bira'am, so they thought that the goyim will think that there were two beings created, each with elements of male and female. And that's not the way it was. It was one being that was with male and female, like two partsufim, the way Chazal teach us, like two sort of visages. So he says, so they wrote Zachar Nekiva Bira'o, where they created it. And then, instead of Hava Nirdab and Ablasham Svatam, which is what Pasuk says in Parshat Noach, let us go down and, you know, kind of confuse their language. If the door Migdal, the Migdal Babel, the door Palaga, they said, Hava Erda, the Eblasham Svatam. I will go down. It's similar to the other Pasuk that we had. Okay? So he says, now, everybody good so far with what I said, with the changes so far?
Can you just repeat the Kiddush line? I forgot the reason for that.
Okay, so so it says in the Torah, Vayechal ukim b'yom ha-shvi'i, God completed on the seventh day. So Chazal teaches that he didn't do anything on the seventh day, but it means he rested on the seventh day, and the world was chaser menucha. So in that sense, the creation was complete, because the world isn't complete without the idea of menucha. I think Rashi and Chumash also says that, like, Hashem ceases work, like on the dot. You know, a person can't detect that. Anyway, so he says, but he thought if they were right by Chab Bayom Hashvi'i, they'll say Hashem was doing work on the seventh day. So
okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. So with Zachar and Keva, it means Hashem created one being, and the being had elements of male and female, like. It had two parts of him. That's we. The Gemara says that, right? But he thought if they would write the way it says in the Chumash, Zachar Nekiva Bira'am, he created them. They would think that there were two beings created, each one with male and female elements. So he wrote it Zachar Nekiva Bira'o. Okay, so they get it straight. No. We say Egyptian. He's from the Ptolemaic, you know, monarchy. They were really Macedonian. You know, successors to Alexander the Great. So they were like, they're ethnically Macedonian, but they're ruling Egypt. They ruled Egypt. And there was... Right. So at different points in time, Aristotle was swapped between the Seleucids and the Ptolemaic. So presumably, the Ptolemaic. So this is Ptolemy II. He reigned 285 to 246 BCE. Okay? Okay, so let's get back in the Gemara. So, okay, now we're around 6 lines from the bottom on Tenement Island. Okay. Now, but Tizchak Sarah, it says in the Torah, Bikirba, when Sarah hears that she's going to have a child, but Tizchak Sarah Bikirba, like she's laughing to herself, is what it means. But they were afraid that if they would translate it that way, so then the Goyim will ask, how come Sarah gets punished and Avram doesn't? Because it says at the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, Vayipol Avram Panah Vayitzchak, that when Avram hears the news, he laughs. And yet we only see that Sarah is punished, or Hashem admonishes, Lamezet Tzachak HaSarah Lemor, and doesn't say anything about Avram. And the emes is, Avram's laugh was different than Sarah's laugh. Avram was laughing out of joy, I'm happy to hear the news. Sarah was laughing like, haha, like, you know, like, is this really going to happen? So that's why Sarah got rebuked. But instead of avoiding it, they wrote, Sarah laughed bikroveha, means with her relatives. So it makes it like more an egregious, different type of situation. Okay, now I have to keep moving, so I hope you'll excuse me. Let me finish the parak, and then we'll talk, because otherwise I won't finish the daf tonight. He says, "Kivi aparm hagushor v'spanamik ruevus." So about Shimon Levi, remember in the parsha of Vayechi we just had a few days ago, where Yaakov gives his bracha to the different shvatim. So Shimon and Levi had gone into the city of Shechem and they killed everybody over there. So Yaakov castigates them. It says, "Kivi aparm hargu ish." In their anger, they killed the man. We're so not make sure they uprooted an ox. So they didn't want to say that, you know, they didn't want to give grounds for Talmud to say that even Yaakov recognizes that his sons are like murderers, they're killing men. So they translated "Kivi aparm hargu shor," that they killed an ox, meaning that Yaakov equates the non-Jews in Shechem to like an animal. In other words, he's saying they killed people who owed the Avodah Zarah, not that they were like, you know, people, men entitled, you know, like not guilty of murder. He says, and in their like their intention, they uprooted a manger. Okay, now, this is this week's Parsha Shavuot, Parsha Shmot. The Pasuk actually says, the Moshe took his wife and kids and put them on the chamor, the donkey, when he's returning to Egypt at the end of Parsha Shmot. So they translated Al Nosei B'nei Adam. They didn't want to say like Moshe, like others say, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu is riding a chamor, to Nosei B'nei Adam, like the transport, and they'll think it's a horse or a camel. Okay? Or a different gear say is, so the part that they added in is Shar Aratzot. In other words, this isn't Chumash. He says, that they spent 430 years in Egypt. That's the end of Parsha's bow. So, but they didn't actually spend 430 years in Egypt. It means 430 years is from the Brit Bein Abtarim and 400 years from Leidos Yitzchak. So to spell it out, they shouldn't impugn the Torah. They wrote Shayeshvum Mitzrayim Uvishar Aratzot and other lands as well. The total being that way. Okay, then Vayishlach and Zaatutei Ben Yisrael. This is at Matan Torah. So the pasuk says Vayishlach et Na'arei Ben Yisrael. That's talking about Shem, the Moshe Rabbeinu sends the Bechorim to bring different korbanot, but they're referred to Narim. Nar is usually not so chashuv. So you don't want to make it look like, you know, we have like not chashuv people in the Avodah. So they wrote Za'atute chashuv. And then Bial Za'atute ben Yisrael lo shalachidu. Bial Atzilei ben Yisrael. Atzilei means an important noble people. Once he changed one to Za'atute, it changed the other one to Za'atute too. Okay, turn page. We're on 10 of the days, 9b, the top line. He says, lo Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Lo chamor echad mihem nasati." I didn't take one chamor of theirs, so they changed it because it sounds like I didn't take chamor. Maybe I took something else. So lo chamed mihem nasati. I didn't take anything in that desirable from them. And then there's another pasuk: "Asher chalak Hashem alokecha otam lahair lechol hamim." So it's talking about the pasuk, like it says, you shouldn't do avodah zara. He says, you know, Penti Sainefan, you'll see Shemesh Virech, O Lechot Svayim, Asher Chalak Hashem Lechol Hamim, that God divided it for the nations, Chalak, or allotted for the nations. So they wrote, Asher Chalak Hashem Otam Lahair Lechol Hamim, that the celestial bodies to illuminate for them that they shouldn't think that there's a heter in the Torah to do Avodah Zarah. So, but Rashi brings down the Pasuk, Asher Chalak, it mean like to stumble. Chalak can mean to slip, to stumble, but Hashem provided that they could stumble on that. In other words, now, by yilek by avod Elohim achirim, ashelo tziviti la'ovdam. So this pasuk says, by yilek by avod Elohim achirim, by shtach lahem. Anyway, but they added on, it says, la'ovdam. So he says that, in other words, it shouldn't be that the worshipping other gods that I didn't command their existence, meaning, but there is a God. You shouldn't think that there is a God, but Hashem didn't command to worship it. In other words, there is no God. So Ashelo Tziviti Lo Dam, I didn't command to worship them. Then the Katulo, in the animals that are not kosher, they wrote Tzirat Haraglayim, which is like the short-legged animal, Arnevet usually translated as a rabbit. Tamai's wife was Arnevet. You shouldn't say the Jews are making fun of me and they put my wife's name in the Torah. So instead of writing Arnevet, they wrote Tzi'irat Ha'Reglayim. All right, let me just finish the next Mishnah, and we'll take a minute or two for questions, then we got to go, okay? Rishulul says that even with Sefer Torah, they only had to write it in Greek. So he says, "I'm Rabbi Yochanan Alach Rishulil." So Rabbi Yochanan says Alach Rishulil. So it means, and that's the halacha, that the Torah could be written, can't be written in any other language, but it could be written in Greek. But the Rambam writes that today the Greek in his time was already corrupted, and it has to be like the pure Greek that I guess it took place at the time in the Chumash. In other words, like a very, very fine Greek. So he says, "But I'm Rabbi Yochanan, my time is Rishulil." Rabbi Yochanan says, "What's the Rish Rishulil?" And again, now we learned that Rav Shmuel says that the Torah can only be written in Greek, can't be written in any other language. So we gave one reason because it's with Talmai Amalek. Now he's giving another reason. He says, Amar Kra, Yaftilukim Yefet Bishkom Bo Alei Hashem. Yaftilukim Yefet can mean this is with the brach that Noach gives his sons after an incident takes place after the Mabul. Because Yaftilukim Yefet, like Yefet should expand. Bishkom Bo Alei Hashem and dwell in the tents of shame. So he interprets it, Devarav Shel Yefet Yu Bo Alei Hashem, that the words of Yefet should be Bo Alei Hashem. Oel is usually like a base medrash, and the words of shame is Greek, of Yefet is Greek. In other words, Yefet had one child, Yaban. So the Greeks are the sense of Yefet. The Imer Gomer Mago, who says Greek? Maybe it's Gomer Mago, one of the other kids. Like the beauty of Yefet should be Ba'al Hashem. And Rashi says that that's for Greek, which is the most beautiful language in Mishawal Ben Yefet, that has the most beautiful language. Now, Relibus is mentioning today, and I think I saw this in the art school as well, he was saying that like Roshalil takes it that the din that I can't write it in foreign languages is a din de Rabbana. In other words, on a din de Raisi's Moda, that you could write it in foreign languages, but it didn't Rabbanan, you're not allowed to write it in foreign languages. But he, Rosh Hashanah, held there was an exception that was made for Greek because the incident with Talmai Amalek, and you could say this thing with Yefet as well. Okay, who's a question, comments, or thoughts? Anything I did? I only have 2 or 3 minutes. Let's go. Septuagint we have today. Yeah, we have a Septuagint. I'm not an expert in Greek, so I can't tell you personally, but we have it, okay? It exists. Okay, so any other questions, comments, or thoughts, what's up? So he's saying that it says in the Torah, Yaft Elokim Yefet, so Yaft means to enlarge, but he's saying the beauty of Yefet should be in the tense of shame. Shame of the Jewish people, the sense of shame. Yavan is the sense of Yefet. So the beauty of Yefet means that the Torah is saying, the way Rabbi Shmuel understands it, maybe it's an asmachta, that there is an element of the Greek that we can take into our Torah. In other words, we can take that language into our Torah. Okay? All right. Now let me just do this. All right, I don't even have time running out. I spent so much time with you. Let me, if I have more time, we'll go through what's the problem with the translation. Let me finish the daf, and then if we have more time, we'll talk. Okay? Okay, now, so... Any questions in the Zoom world? I don't want to leave you guys without the... Okay? All right, let me move on. All right, now the next Mishnah. Okay. Ein bein koy meshuach b'shem en mishcha l'mruvi begadim. So it means that, this again, we're shifting topics again. So in the beginning of Parshas Ki Tisa, it says the mitzvah of the Torah to compound shem en mishcha. And it says, shem en mishcha is a lila dorotechem. So there was shem en mishcha, anointing oil, that was compounded by Moshe Rabbeinu. There's an Easter in the Torah to make any oil with that ingredient in the same way. And that was used through the centuries to anoint the Kohen Gedolim and to anoint the Mishkan. And then in the time of Yoshiyahu HaMelech, it was hidden away because Yoshiyahu HaMelech saw that the base of Mishkan is going to be destroyed. So, Ein Bein Kohen Meshuch Moshem HaMishka, the original Kohen who's anointed with the anointing oil, the Merubei Begadim. Merubei Begadim is after the time of Yoshiyahu HaMelech. They're just putting on the eight begadim, but they don't have Shem and Mishkan. There's no difference between them. The Parabal Kol Mitzvot. Parabal Kol Mitzvot, it says in the Torah that if the Kohen Gadol in Vayikra, if he does an Aveira that b'meizid he b'chayiv karet, but based on his own erroneous ruling, he follows his own erroneous ruling that he's allowed to do that, then when he realizes that he made a mistake, he brings a special korban. But there it refers to imat kohen ha-mashiach, the anointed kohen will bring this korban. So the Tana says that the Meruvi Begadim doesn't bring that korban. Presumably, he just brings korban chatat because he's not kohen ha-mashiach. Ain bein kohen mishamish to kohen sha'avar, and as a different case, kohen mishamish, let's say I have a regular kohen gadol, and then a psul happens to him. Let's say he becomes tameh. So then I have somebody who fills in for him. And now he becomes the kohen. Let's say I have Reuven as a kohen gadol. Reuven becomes tameh. So Shimon fills in. Now Shimon is becoming kohen gadol. But then Reuven, now he becomes tahor. So Reuven goes back to his old job. And Shimon is called kohen shavar. So anything kohen mishamish to kohen shavar, no difference between the two of them. El par yom kippurim v'asiripa. It means only one kohen can bring the par yom kippurim. And only one kohen can bring the minchat chavitin each day. And that's going to be Reuven. Shimon not. But Shimon, Lechora, according to our Mishnah, could go around with the 8th begadim. Shimon can do other avodas in the Beis Hamikdash. Shimon is subject to the prohibitions of a Kohen Gadol. He can only marry a Betula, can't marry an Almana. And Shimon, you know, is not Matami for his program. Okay, hang tight. Let's get through the Gemara and then we'll talk. Okay, I'm running out of time, so I have to go on. So the Gemara says, now focusing on the first halacha in the Mishnah, which was the Kohen Meshuach of Shimon Mishka and Ruvi Begadim. We said the only difference between the one that was anointed with the anointing oil and the one Ruvi Begadim is Parah Baal Kol Mitzvah. That's the only difference between the two of them, the Parah Baal Kol Mitzvah. So Halinin Par Yom Kippurim V'Asiripa is as Shabbat. So the implication of that is that in terms of Par Yom Kippurim V'Asiripa, either one of them could bring it. Either one, they're both the same halakha. He says, Manitin Zok B'Rameir. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah is not like the Tan Rameir. He Rameir, Hatanya, Merubi Begadim, may be Par Baal Kol Mitzvah, did Rameir. Rameir says, Merubi Begadim says that he does, so means like this. The Mishnah says that Merubi Begadim can't bring Par Baal Kol Mitzvah. Rameir says he could bring a Par Baal Kol Mitzvah, but Chachamim Rameir may not be. So our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir, the first of all, is not like Rameir. The Mishnah says that if he's Merubi Begadim, he can't bring Par Baal Kol Mitzvah. My Tamid Rameir, what's the reason Rameir who says that he could, not like our Mishnah, the Tanya Mashiach, Eliyahu Mishuch B'Shemar Mishnah. So it says, Im HaKohen HaMashiach, the anointed Kohen, is Yechetal Yishman Am. So he brings a special Korban, as we anointed B'Shemar Mishnah. Merubi Begadim Inai, and according to Rameir, where do I know Merubi Begadim also brings that special Korban? Tamalomar HaMashiach. Okay, so the first part of the Mishnah cannot be like Rabbi Meir. So by my Kimna the Lord Rabbi Meir. So what did we say was like? Definitely not like Rabbi Meir. Aim a seifa. Let's go to the seifa of our Mishnah. Aim being coin mishamish the coin shavar and the pariyom akrim vasirefa. The only difference between like Reuven, who was the original coin gadol, and Shimon, who was the fill-in, is only one of them, Reuven, when he's back to his status, can bring the pariyom akrim, and only one of them, Reuven, when he has his status, will bring the minchat chavitin every day. Halachol de brains that is of Shabbat. So then all other matters are the same. In other words, they could both bring Torah. They could both wear eight begadim. They're both subject to the prohibitions of a kohen gadol, you know, not to be tamei for even the shibbut krovim. So atan the Rameir. So then the last part of the Mishnah, that does seem like it is going in accordance with the Rameir. The Tanya, we learned the Braisa. Again, the first part was not like Rameir. This part seems like it is Rameir. Tani would learn the Braisa, Yirabo Psol, if Reuven was a Kohen Gadol, now he has Psol at Tzis Tamei, and we knew Kohen Acher Tachtav, and now they appointed Shimon to fill in for Reuven, then Reuven gets better, he's now his power. Rishon Chuzer L'Avodato, Reuven goes back doing his regular Avoda. Sheni, Kol Mitzvot Kohen Gadol Alav, the Rameir. Shimon has got all, he's subject to all the dinim of a Kohen Gadol. It's just that he can't bring, he can't bring the Par Yom Kippurim and Asirifa, but all the other dinim he has. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rishon Chozer Lavoto. Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, Reuven goes back to his old job. Shani, Shimon, Enu Rui Lola Kohen Gadol. Shimon isn't really to be a Kohen Gadol anymore, but Lola Kohen Head Yod. He's not really to be a Kohen Head Yod. And as we split betwixt in between, he's totally out of work. Rabbi Yossi says, "Maaseh b'Rabbi Yosef ben Ulam mitzipuri." There was an incident with Rabbi Yosef ben Ulam from Tzipori, Shirab Absul the Kohen Gadol, that Absul happened with the Kohen Gadol, let's say Reuven, whom he knew Tachtav, and they appointed this Rabbi Yosef to be the substitute Kohen Gadol, Ubama Selfnei Chachamim, and then Reuven the Kohen Gadol got better, and Ba'amru Rishon Chazer Avodato. He said, now Reuven's better, he's Tahor, he's going back to Zavoda. Shani, the second one, Rabbi Yosef, he's not ready to do anything anymore. Why? You can't leave him as a Kohen Gadol. Creates too much hostility with the real Kohen Gadol. So he has to go out from there. Kohen Hagyod, and it can't be Kohen Hagyod. We increase Kedusha. We don't drop a person with Kedusha. So the bottom line is, though, that the beginning of the Mishnah we said is not like Rabbi Meir. And the second part of the Mishnah is like Rabbi Meir. So the Gemara says, Reisha Rabbanim Sefer Meir. You mean the Reisha is like the Chachamim and the Sefer is like the Rav Meir? I'm Rav Chisda in. Reisha Rabbanim Sefer Meir. Rav Chisda says, yeah, that's the way this Mishnah works out. The Reisha reflects the opinion of the Chachamim. Sefer reflects the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Yosef Amar, Rebbe. Rav Yosef says, look, the whole Mishnah reflects Rebbe's opinion. The Nasi Vlali B'ta Tanai. Rebbe held like the Chachamim in one machloket. He held like Rav Meir in another machloket. Rebbe is Messiah of the Mishnayot, so he frames it as Stam this way, but it's the way that he holds, so that's the way the Mishnah reflects. Okay, so I only have a minute or two for questions. What's up? Any questions? Say again, right? Right. No. I mean, the only thing is they had where there were B'nai Itamar and B'nai Elazar at different times in Jewish history, but otherwise, I mean, it could be anybody, but the Mai said, though, that at a certain point in time, they're only doing B'nai Itamar and B'nai Elazar. Really quick, yeah, what's up, Yos? Wait. He says that the original or the backup one? So he can't be a Kohen Gadol, can't be a Kohen Head Yod. No, what's right? No, that creates Ava. That creates hostility with the original Kohen Gadol. Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, now the next Mishnah, and then we'll try to finish the whole daf. Okay, so Manitin is a different topic now, okay? So, now the Hakdama is like this, that at certain times in Jewish history, when they came to Eretz Israel, they have the Mishkan, and they come to Eretz Israel, they're in Gilgal. So for 14 years, that's Bama, were permissive. Bama is like your backyard altar. You can have little shul in the backyard where you bring the korban out. Now, the Meiri, the way they brought down the Sifta, they've seen this in Kahatis, but I think in Kahatis as well. The Meiri says that at the time of the Aaron wasn't always with the Mishkan. It was the Aaron who was going out to Melchama. So then they have a Heter Bama. Then they go to Shiloh for 369 years, no Heter Bama. Then they lose the Aaron and the Melchama with the Plishtim. And then for 52 years, the Mishkan is in Nob and Givon, the Aaron is somewhere else. So they also have a Heter Bama. Okay? So now the Mishnah says, Ein Bein Bama Gedola. Bama Gedola is the original Mizbech that Moshe Rabbeinu had, the Mizbech HaNechoshe. Saying, that's the Bama Gedola. The Bama Katana is my own private altar. He says, Ela Pesachim. The only thing, the Korban Pesach, I have to bring on the Bama Gedola. I can't bring that in my backyard. I have to go to the Bama Gedola to bring the from Pesach. So it was Gilgal, or Nova, or Givon, and then over there. Now, it's going to come out not just the Korban Pesach, but the Gemara is going to say things similar to Korban Pesach, which is like the Kmidin would be there. Everything was Kabula Hemzman, it has to be there. He says, Zehaklal, Koshu Nidar Venidab Kari Babama. If it's something that a person could bring as a result of a neder or a nedava, so he can bring it on his own backyard, Mizbeah, so it's quickly. So he does his own things good. It's something that I can't bring through a neder or a nedava, I'm not going to bring it on the Bama Katana. What says Bama here means Bama Katana. So the Gemara says, Pesachim, it's too low. You mean, it's only the Korban Pesach he's bringing on the Bama Gedola? So aim Pesachim, it means like Korban Pesach, and things similar to the Pesach, so it means the Tmidim, the Musafin, all those would be, if it's Kabulam Zman, it has to be on the Bama Gedola. Okay, now, Mani, so according to whom does our Mishnah go? Rav Shimoni. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah follows the sheet of the Rav Shimon, which is the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. The Tani, we learn the Braisa, Rav Shimon Omer, Aft Sibur, Lotrivu Elop Sachem, the Kabul Shikulam Zman, that the Sibur only brought Pesach, and the chobot that's mut zman. About chobot she'ein kibulam zman, hacha b'hakalo karev. If it's a chobot not kibul zman, like par halim davar shel sibur, where si rei avod et zara, like if the Sanhedrin made a ruling, an erroneous ruling, and most of the Chayes shall follow the erroneous ruling, the special korban to be brought, to point to the Shimon, that can't be brought in the Bama Gedolah, it can't be brought in the Bama Katana either, because it's a chova, it's not Nidar v'Nidav, and it's not Kavulam Zman. There's no specific time when you have to bring it. You have to bring it and you do the Aveira, but it's not like this day, that day, or the other day. So, but on the other hand, it's something to Machloket, is a Chamim over in the Sefet Zvachim, they hold that they would bring even the parling davar shel tzibur, they would bring on the bama gedola. Okay, let me do the next mishnah and then that'll be right. Okay, so manitin again another ein bein shilo l'Yerushalayim. Shilo, we know it was where the mishkan was for 369 years, and Shilo was like north of Yerushalayim. There was a mayor of Shilo was once here in Greinik. He said if you draw one line east of Tel Aviv and another line north of Yerushalayim, that's where you get Shilo. So approximately. So ein bein shilo l'Yerushalayim el shem shilo oflin kachim kalim maaser sheni b'chol roe. So kachim kalim are those types of korbanot that I normally would eat in Yerushalayim. You know, when we have beis hamikdash. So and maaser sheni I have to eat in Yerushalayim, but with shilo I eat it b'chol roe. So Rashi learns wherever I could see shilo. So if I could see the city of Shilo, the way the Rambam learns, I see the mishkan. But either way, wherever I see it, I can eat it. But in Yerushalayim, you have to eat in outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Here and there, both in Shilo and Yerushalayim, kachikadashim are inside the klayim, claim of the curtains. It's going back to the time of the Mishkan, but it means inside the walls of the base mikdash. Hushat Shilo, the tapan yudam alal, yesh acharei heter. It means when Shilo was destroyed, then you can bring the things to the bamot. Afterwards, once you have Kedushat Yerushalayim, so there's no Heter Bamot after that. Okay, let me do 1 minute for me. Let me just do one piece from the Aladaf, and that'll be it. Now, the question is like this. We have this stimulus miracle occurs where they translate the Torah into Greek. And here on the Aladaf, he quotes the historian Josephus Flavius relates to Sefer Yosifun. Sefer Yosifun was a sefer from the Middle Ages. Like, there's a lot of Midrashim in it. He says that Talmai Melech is extremely impressed with the translation, and the Gentile king and his minister publicly praise the beauty of the Torah and the wisdom of the Jewish sages, and they send gifts to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the Bahag relates that during that period, when it was translated, the world was cloaked in darkness for 3 consecutive days, and there's the Mechaber brings down there are days that it's ra'ui to fast, but you're not mechuyev to fast, and one of the days is the 8th day of Teveh, when the Torah was translated into Greek. So the question is, what was so terrible? It seems like a big Kiddush Hashem. Why is it so horrible the Torah was translated into Greek? So the Chasam Sofer explains that while the translation enabled the Gentile scholars to admire the Torah's wisdom, it only made it possible for them to appreciate the beauty apparent on the Torah's surface. However, the deeper meaning of the Torah with its inner secrets was lost in the translation. In other words, they don't have Torah Shabbat Peh. They just have this Torah Shabbat Tav, like they have now. Many Jewish people began viewing Torah through the eyes of Gentile scholars who were still Torah is a secular book of knowledge and philosophy. Oh, it's just like a book of wisdom. He says they stopped appreciating the fact that each word of the Torah is laden with meaning and depth, that it studies the means of coming close to Hashem. You know, there was a big sort of scandal. It was going back many years ago, I think around the 50s, I think maybe 56, I don't remember exactly, but David Ben-Gurion, he came to America. I don't know if he made the statement here before he came. He made a statement that like the Greeks had gave their works to the world and we gave our Bible. And it was like equating like the Torah to like, you know, like Greek works and things like that. And at the time they invited him to speak at YU and they were, anyway, so it's just like this. So, but nobody was in favor of, you know, the way he was, what he was saying. In addition, the Chasam Sofer writes that until then the masses were not knowledgeable in foreign languages and the knowledge of the sciences was known to the sages only through the study of Torah. Having a Greek translation of Torah opened the floodgates for the study of the Greek language and consequently of the Greek sciences and philosophy as well. Therefore, it was considered a sad event because it resulted in a steady reduction of Torah study and missed observance. Okay, that's going to be it for tonight. Who?
My father.
Your father, right?
Torah, maybe, and Navi, I don't remember. And as a gift, they gave him the finished product, gold embossed with his name on it.
What was the finished product?
I think it was the Torah.
Oh, all right.
No, all right.
I gotta say goodbye, everybody.
Yeshkoch.
I imagine my mother had. Yeah.